Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie.
Hey, Dark Hearts. Okay. That was pretty good.
We're getting there.
Yeah, one of like there's days. A slight delay, I think, on the cameras. So like I was kind of waiting for you to say it.
Yeah.
But you know, it worked. That's good. That's better than it's been. So
yeah, you know, it's fine. It's whatever.
Hey guys, so yeah, thanks for hanging out with us.
For tuning in yet again. Again, still so confused because now we're recording this a week and a day before it actually comes out. So it's before my episode even comes out.
It's confusing because last week I almost forgot to post my pictures with my case because I was like, oh gosh, it's my week. Like,
Which is why I used that beta business or whatever it's called, Meta or whatever, for Facebook to get at least the Instagram and the Facebook post, because then that'll remind me to do the Twitter and the TikTok post.
Yes. Good call.
Yeah. But, you know, by the time this comes out, I'll have gotten back from vacation, but we're about to leave for vacation. So we have just been trying to keep everything, if people look at the TikTok video, that's why there's luggage and stuff behind me, because I'm currently in the process of trying to get everything, you know, all packed up. But yeah, so we wanted to make sure that we still, you know, even though we have lives outside of this, you know, and everything, this is a fun thing. And we wanted to try to make sure we were still getting our episodes out, even if we're not around. So
yeah.
And you got all the technology, because I'll be able to edit this and have it scheduled to go.
I won't
even have to worry about it while I'm gone.
My daughter last night, I was saying how stressed I was. I was like, I have to get this done and this done, and I need to finish this, and we have to record our next episode. And she goes, why don't you guys just skip a week? And I said, hey, we have to give the people what they want. And then she said, what people? And I was like, oh.
Rude.
Yeah.
Hey, we hit over 10,000 downloads.
We did. I saw that email, and that's amazing. Guys, we're super, super excited. Thank you so much.
We're so thankful. And plus, we can't skip a week if we're trying to get to the point where we want sponsors.
I was like, no. Thanks, but no thanks. This is top priority before job. No, just kidding. Kind of. No.
JK.
JK. But yeah, no.
My son, he had soccer camp last night. And as we were coming back, he saw one of those bus benches that were like, rent a bench. And he was like, who would want to rent a bench? And I was like, no, but it means like putting like an advertisement on there or something like that for your business. He goes, oh, you could do that for your business. I was like, I don't own where I work, so like I'm not doing that. He's like, well, you could do it for your podcast. I was like, we don't have the funds to do that for our podcast.
You know what? Maybe someday we'll get there.
Maybe one day.
But I don't want my face on a bench, though. No thanks.
Well, I figured it would just be our logo. But I just love how much like confidence my son has in us, because he thinks we're famous.
Yeah. So does my daughter, even though she made her comment. But
he's like,
she tells everybody about it. Now?
Well, and then he'll ask me, he'll like, what's your episode about? I was like, bud, you can't know. Like,
she asked me that too. And I said, there's like some stuff, it's just like not okay for little girls to know. And I'm like, yeah, I know it's insane that we enjoy this stuff, but like maybe when you're older, you can listen.
When you're a little bit older. Yeah. Well, and especially the episode where I'd asked him about the Diplosaurus or whatever, you know, I was like, I'm talking about like creatures from other, you know, that one I could kind of tell him about. That one was fine.
Oh yeah, totally.
But the one we recorded for mine, which at this point people have listened to, you know, involving the death of a child and child abuse. Correct. I was like, yeah, but we're not gonna talk about that. Like,
I know
you're good.
Yeah, we don't need to. Just know that I will protect you, and well, we hope. But
right.
Okay, sorry guys. Our kids. That's just our life, kind of. Where we're at, you know, we're moms.
Right, especially right now. Well, and especially right now, they're home all the time. They're not in school. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, it's great, but it's rough. Like, it's a lot of time. And they're bored every second, and snacks. And okay, this week, guys,
where are we at this week, Shannon?
We are going to Illinois.
Oh, hey.
With Noah's, Illinois. You know, when people say Illinois, and it's like, no. Okay, so we're going to Columbia, Illinois. Don't know.
Okay.
You've heard of that little place. Okay, so this case, I'm just starting. I mean, I guess I can, some of my sources, I got a ton of them off different news sites. I did not find any actual documentaries. I think I saw that there was something on YouTube, but I did not watch that one. To be honest, it was kind of a lot of like me digging for book stuff just because I did not have time to watch a whole documentary. So, we're going to talk about Chris Coleman. So, Chris Coleman, he was born March 20th of 1977. He grew up in a really religious home. His dad was actually a minister, so not a lot about his childhood and all that, other than the home was super religious. So after he graduated high school, he joined the military. So he was a Marine and he did that. And while he was in the military, he met a lady, a woman, whatever, named Sherry. I don't know what her maiden name was, doesn't matter. But so Sherry was in the Air Force. So they just kind of hit it off right away and they started dating. So in 1997, Chris took Sherry home to meet his parents. Mom and dad were not impressed. I get the vibe from everything I read that they were very
A woman
like
needs to
nose up
be a
kind of,
homemaker. Well, okay. And like, I
like
mean,
the bad kind of religious, like in the
was gonna
sense
say,
of like too far
sometimes,
and judgy and yeah.
well, and like sometimes I feel like when they're, depending on the religion and depending on, you know, when they grew, I mean, if he was born in 1977, you know, his parents are older a lot of times. So like the woman should be at
Right.
home and not, you know,
Yeah, exactly
subservient to the
what.
man.
Exactly.
And if
That's,
she's
I
in the
read that
Air
exact
Force,
term.
she's,
Yeah.
yeah.
So she's somewhat independent already. I mean, in the fact that she's doing something like that. Yeah. So yeah, they don't like her. The reasons specifically were because she had on short shorts. She had a tattoo, just the
Oh,
one it
they
mentioned.
hate
Yeah.
me.
Oh yeah.
Well,
And she was too
that's true.
worldly. So not
So pretty
sure.
much she wasn't gonna be bossed around and
And
subservient to the
controlled.
men around and
Yeah.
was gonna speak her mind.
You are just picking up what I'm putting down. That's exactly it. So Chris's parents. Oh, I jumped ahead. Sorry, guys. But okay, so they don't like her. They said it was not who they imagined their son being with. So they had something in their own mind, clearly, that they wanted him, and that
The
was not
meek
it.
little
So,
church mouse.
yeah. So, despite their feelings, Chris and Sherry eloped. So I don't know how long it had been, but they elope. And Chris's parents said that he had regrets about that, he immediately, you know, discussed how he had regrets. So
Did he,
they said that
though,
that
or
was
do you
because of,
think?
yeah, exactly. That's, yeah. They said it was because how he was raised and he knew better, which I'm like, that's not a sin to elope. Like, I don't know what you mean. Just like, you think you need a traditional wedding? Nowhere says that you have to have. I'm sure they're just pissed because they wanted
Or
to
like
be there
obey
and they
thy
didn't want it to be
parents or
her.
some shit.
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. They sound like they're very controlling themselves. So that's their thoughts on what he felt. Don't know, that word never came from him. They never even said that he said that. They just said they know that Chris had regrets. So, okay. So shortly thereafter, Sherry is pregnant and she gives birth to their first son in April of 1998. So they name him Garrett. And then in 2000, they had another son, Garrett or Gavin. I put Garrett, but it's Gavin. Garrett and Gavin. So two sons. So they lived then in Columbia, Illinois. So this is a small town over the Mississippi River from Missouri.
Okay.
So I had all intentions to like look up, you know, exact distance kind of to get an idea, but you get the general idea. So after, you know, they have their home and their family, Sherry does end up staying at home and just being a homemaker, if you will, stay-at-home mom. So I'm sure that pleased his parents in that aspect of it, but
Probably, but can
who
we also
knows?
discuss how expensive daycare is? And so sometimes that's just
Yeah.
like
Ew,
the
no
more
thanks.
reasonable thing to do.
Well, and Chris had quite the job. So he actually worked for Joyce Meyer Ministries. So Joyce Meyer, for those of you who don't know, she's a televangelist. Is that even how you say that? Televangelist? That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
So she does a lot of like speaking engagements and stuff. So she has her own like ministry. So I don't even know how that all came about, but he was her bodyguard, actually. Oh. And yeah, I don't know if this case will start to ring a bell to you. It was, I vaguely remember it as it happened, but well, maybe as it gets going more, you'll see where okay. we're headed. I didn't want to give too much away in the beginning of where yeah. we were going with who's the victim and all the things.
Yeah, because... I was going to say, I'm a little confused now, but also I do yes. want to say real quick, I'm not dogging anyone who wants to be a stay-at-home mom or anything like that. I'm just the people who...
Oh, right.
like expect that that's what a woman should do. Men right. can be stay-at-home dads. You want to be a stay-at-home mom? Because I'm pretty much a stay-at-home mom. Like I only work one day a week, you know what I mean, and stuff like right. that, because that's what
it's different when like someone's like making you feel like that's all you're
right
made like, to that's, do.
I just wanted to point out because I was like I don't want people to think that I'm dogging on people who want to be a stay-at-home. Like that's cool, like you do you, but it's the people who think that like
that's where a woman belongs,
the stereotypes. Yes. Yeah, like
the '50s, like the cook gender and clean and have dinner yeah. ready and yes
yeah okay. like those no. gender conformity role, you know. Totally. So I just want to make sure everyone's on the same page, like you're stay-at-home mom, cool, I am too,
dude. Stay-at-home moms, also for the record, kudos to them, because I could never, like I would lose my mind.
The people, like I get that one day a week to go to work, and like some days, like yeah, I'm like ugh, I don't want to go because that's I'm just lazy and I don't want to leave my house because I'm a homebody. But once I'm there, it's nice and I love my clients, you know, and stuff. But I'm like, I don't like even having that one day. I'm like, I don't know how those people, the men and the women who stay home, and then non-binary and anyone in between who stays home to raise their children 24/7. Like, I hope you're doing stuff for you. You're having yeah, some that's me time. A lot.
When people think that stay-at-home moms don't do anything, like, are you kidding me? That's harder than going to work. So
right,
you know, so, that's a lot. People yeah. don't know. I mean, just stay home with a kid one day, and you'll get a little taste of that. Even if it's not your own kid, you know, it's worse when right? you're well. No, it's fine.
We right. So I didn't want to go off on that tangent, but I just wanted to clarify that real fast. I didn't want people yeah. coming at me, you know, and thinking like,
how dare you? You're right, like so far the opposite of that kind of person, though. Like anyone that knows you knows that you would not be the one to be like dogging on it. Because
well, since you know, we have listeners from other places, and a lot of people don't exactly. know me. Like, just hopefully by now don't they've worry. Got a general sense of who we are and everything. But yeah, yeah like
yeah,
I'm all no, about supporting.
Yes, girl.
I do not like it when they're like, a woman should be you doing have to this. Be. Like, yeah. you want to do and it? That's your choice.
So
yeah. Exactly. So
she did stay home, which in this case, he made a buttload of money. So cool. Good on ya. You know, right. but she, okay. So he was her bodyguard, especially having his background in the military and whatnot. I don't know what necessarily qualifications were, how he fell into that, if there were connections, but Joyce Meyer, even if you don't like know her, I'm sure you've seen her name or heard her name. Like she's
the name sounds familiar.
Oh yes. She's, makes a lot of money. She's on a lot of things. Sure. I mean, I don't have any beef with her. Like, I don't, yeah, either don't way, know. She's
televangelist,
I mean, yeah,
though.
I know, yeah, no.
In general, I'm like, you're, like, they're essentially cult-like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, in a way. Totally. I think, okay, yeah, I could start enlisting people, but we won't go down that road. But yeah, yes. No, I know.
But like, yeah.
In this story, she's not, I mean, a huge part of the story by any means, other than that's where he's employed. So,
yeah.
There's a little Fair bit enough. Later on, but, okay, so... Sherry and Chris, like many, they didn't have, you know, the perfect marriage. They fought a lot about Chris traveling for work. So because Joyce Meyer travels all the time for speaking engagements and he's her bodyguard, he obviously was with her. So he was actually gone more often than he was home. So they fought about that a lot because it was really hard on Sherry and the boys, naturally. So well, the yeah, boys,
you're taking care of the kids 24/7 all by yourself. Like,
and
that's
you get
exhausting.
No break. And yeah,
no break. And if I mean, I guess I don't know how close like his parents are, or her parents are, or what friends or support system she has. I can't imagine even if his family was close that they'd be very helpful or supportive.
I know,
and giving her a break.
So, I did read later on that it says that like his family never really accepts her. So
do yeah. they not accept the kids then either?
I don't know. They're yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit okay. more. I don't know though. There wasn't a whole lot about like their relationship with the family, other than kind of what we talked about this far. But she So the boys, though, I guess, oh yeah, him not being home. So the boys even had like a countdown calendar on their fridge that would count down the days until he would come home. Like, aww, how sad is that? You know, they just want their dad.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was one of the things they would fight about. They also would fight about finances. So Chris made over $100,000 a year. So nice. Clearly he's making a lot of money, and Sherry loved to spend the money. So she would spend fast, said that she loved shopping. She loved going on mission trips and donating to charities. So like, okay, first of all, is that really that bad? You're donating to charities. I was like, right. I'll justify your spending for you, Sherry. Like, no. And mission trips. I'm like, maybe the shopping, it didn't say specifically, but like the other two things, like, okay, cool. Like, it's not like she's out, I don't know, just blowing it necessarily in that way. But anyways, so he would get really mad about that because her spending was just out of control. So they would also fight about money. They also would argue about Chris's lack of affection. So he was never really affectionate with her or the kids. Friends of theirs that knew them said they rarely would see him hug or kiss her or the boys for that matter. So just kind of a little background here on their marriage and what kind of,
I mean, it's going one thing on to like not be big on PDA. Like that's fine. But I yeah. think even the people who aren't really big on PDA, you can usually still see some sense, sort of some like
sort your like hand connection, on their like shoulder, their or just any like small kind little things,
yeah. you know? And like, that's one thing, like, Trevor's not big on PDA. We were at Target last weekend and I like looped my arm. I was being obnoxious and I like looped my arm through his and I was like, oh, you know, we're so good. And he, I mean,
yeah,
he dealt with it and he was fine. Yeah. You know, and it was a jokey thing, but in actuality, like, he's not big on public displays of affection, which is fine, but in the home it's fine. And like, I mean, but out and about, he's going to hug the children, you know, that's right. different. Like, a parent with your child is different yes. than like the couples and stuff. Like, he's very affectionate with our children out and around other people.
Yeah.
And so that to me does seem weird. Like, I don't know. Like, that's what I know.
And the kids,
like,
are fairly young. I mean, I don't know yeah. what year this arguing was in. It didn't say, but it's just kind of over right.
It was probably one of those. It was probably one of those like reoccurring arguments. And I feel like though, before you marry someone, which maybe he was more affectionate in public before and then has lagged, which I could understand, but like, if he's never been that way, like, Trevor's never been that way, you know? And so I knew that going into it. I'm like, every now and then it'd be nice if he would just hold my hand, and he will every now and then, but I mean,
I
know he's
not gonna be like sticking his tongue down your throat at Target.
Yeah,
like,
and I don't want that anyways, you know?
Nobody wants to see that anyway, you know? Like, nah, some people think it could take it a little bit too far. Like, there's a line where I feel like it's socially acceptable and where people don't need to see it. So I know it made me sad for the kids' sake too, because I'm like, kids will just like want to climb on your lap and sit by you and like, you know, just little things like that. And I mean, it didn't give me a lot of details on it, but it just sounded like he kind of had a different type of relationship. And plus, probably not being there all the time. Like, the kids were probably craving his attention. And so
for sure,
it sucked that he wouldn't reciprocate, you know, but
which, and he's lucky too, the fact that he was gone all the time, that his kids did still want that, because I feel like at a point, like, kids could go either way. They're either going to crave your attention, or they're just gonna be like, I mean, who are you, why are you here, like, you're gonna be gone again. Like,
exactly.
So I feel like you should feel thankful that his kids still want, I know, you know, that. So
I know, that's what I would think. And I mean, I guess part of it too, it says they disagreed on their view of like family. So like, Chris grew up in a very conservative home where they still, like I had mentioned earlier, still have not accepted Sherry. So Sherry was kind of like the opposite. I mean, it all kind of ties in. She was super affectionate and she was a very loving mother. Her boys were her entire world. So Chris, on the other hand, he was very strict. He had high expectations about excellence from his kids in all things, from like manners all the way to sports performances. Like, one of those kind of dads. So, I mean,
yeah,
it just makes you kind of, I don't know. It just, you don't hear all the things and know all the things that go on behind closed doors, but it's like, he seems a little bit much.
Manners is one thing. Like, yeah, cool. Like, instill manners in your child. But if your child just isn't good at a sport, like, there's nothing you can do about that.
Right.
Like, there's only so much training and stuff like that that you can do.
Yeah. And like, they're little still, you know, because if they were born in 2000 and what, 98 too. So like,
yeah.
Okay. So moving forward here, okay. So basically we know they had issues. No, we all know no relationship is perfect, but Sherry was always committed to working things out with Chris, no matter how upset. She said that she loved him just too much to give up. So that was kind of where they stood there. So, and let's see, November of 2008, Chris told a close friend of his that he was planning on divorcing Sherry, but he was waiting until after the holidays to talk to her. So that was mentioned at one point.
I'm surprised that with how conservative his family is, that divorce would even be an acceptable thing.
I know. I thought the same thing.
Where you get that, those hypocritical, like the uber religious.
That's what they are. That's what I take it to. So, yeah. Okay. So, around that same time, Sherry told one of her close friends that she actually thought that Chris was having an affair. So she had introduced him to one of her friends and she suspected that they were involved. But despite this,
friend.
I know. Oh, I talk about that later too. Cause I like made a comment when I was looking up some stuff and I was like, what a bitch. What kind of friend is that? I got all heated, but okay. So she wasn't sure, but she just thought maybe they were. So even though this was all going down, she was like hellbent on just making it work and really wanted to like commit to it and just see it through. She didn't know. But I mean, when he's out of town all the time too, I think it's easy for her mind to probably wonder too. And who knows? So, one of the issues though that Chris had with getting divorced was he was worried about it compromising his job. Because he did not know in that kind of a place in a ministry job if being divorced would impact him having a job. I mean, he didn't want to lose his job. So I think he kind of just kept pushing it away, not knowing what to do in that case. But kind of by this time, they really have other issues going on to deal with other than the divorce. So Chris started getting death threats through Joyce Meyer Ministries. So he would get like letters and emails to the company. So I guess back on that. So Joyce, we know that she makes a shit ton of money and a lot of people would assume that she's misusing the money, just kind of like anybody with a lot of money. So it wasn't go ahead.
Whenever you have someone famous like that and for something that is, can be so, because a televangelist is usually on the extreme end of religion too. Yeah. So you're going to get the people on the other extreme against that who dislike you, or even some other ultra extreme religious people who disagree with your views who are going to then, I mean, so death threats for her makes sense.
Exactly.
And him being her security guard kind of makes sense then too.
Yeah, exactly. So like it wasn't out of the norm to get nasty emails, letters, rude, what have you. But this time they were like directed at Chris. So, here, let me pull this one up. Cause I had pulled, you can see I can post these in the pictures this week too. So like this one says, I'm sure this will make it to someone in the company. If you jackasses are like any other company, this will be someone's account. Pass this on to Chris. Tell Joyce to stop preaching bullshit or Chris's family will die. If I can't get to Joyce, then I will get to someone close to her. And if I can't get to him, then I will kill his wife and kids. I know Joyce's schedule, so then I know Chris's schedule. If Joyce doesn't quit preaching this bullshit, they will all die. During the Houston conference, I will kill them as they sleep. If I don't hit there, then I will kill them during the book tour on the trip to India. I know where he lives, and I know they are all alone. Tell Chris they will all die soon. And tell that motherfucker next time to let me talk to Joyce. She needs to hear what I have to say. And now she will. So,
okay,
that's
this
an example.
Sounds so familiar, but okay. I can't remember who the victims are in this. I know.
Oh, you'll
I've
find
heard
out
this
soon
now.
Enough. I don't know why I'm like smiling. Like it's not happy.
I know what you
mean. I
mean, no,
I'm just
I
like,
know.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So, no, I feel like I've maybe watched a documentary about this or something.
There has to be. And I didn't look deep enough. Like I said, I was kind of on a time crunch, and so I didn't get a look enough to see. But I feel like it's recent enough. I mean, 2008, 2009-ish, you know, that there should be something by now out, and I'm sure there is. But
or maybe I've listened to a podcast. It's highly likely I've listened to a podcast. But
very likely.
I'm going two different ways on this, on who the victims are.
Well, you'll find out here shortly, actually. It looks like I'm almost getting to that point. So, yeah, they were threatening him, but through her, for her, you know, allegedly. So, you know, saying they would kill them while they slept. So, I mean, I don't know. It's all very random. Like, it doesn't necessarily say what they want from this, other than for Joyce to like stop. I mean, completely. I don't know, but it was still scary. I mean, you know, he was getting these, like I said, even at home. So I don't know if that was like people mailing letters or just on his porch. It never really said. But so the threats continue and they get progressively more threatening as it goes on. So Chris has obviously alerted the police and they were keeping a close watch on his house, especially when he was out traveling for work. His neighbor was actually even a police officer on the force there. So he had a surveillance camera that was pointed directly at Chris's house. So So they could see. So the final letter that actually ended up coming, it showed up in April of 2009 and it said, "This is my last warning. Your worst nightmare is about to happen." So it was in all caps. That's all it said. So May 5th, 2009, Chris left his house at 5:45 a.m. to head to the gym. He would drive across the river to St. Louis to work out. So it must have not been that far from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm guessing it's, I mean, based off that alone. So, which that's in the heartland too. So I guess it all ties together. Shortly after he left his house, he called Sherry because he wanted to make sure that she was up. She didn't answer. So he continued to call and text her throughout his workout. Which I'm like, okay, this whatever.
This is clicking now. Yeah.
So he gets no answer the whole time. So on his way home from the gym, he calls his police officer neighbor friend, and he asks him to go check on his family because he said Sherry wasn't answering and he was getting worried. Okay, first
two. Why didn't he do that?
At the gym, like the first time or second time she didn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why would you continue working out? Like, man, got to get these reps in. No.
Yeah. I'm worried about my family, but I'm going to go ahead and keep getting my swole on.
Yeah, like, exactly. Really? That's what I was like. You're a douchebag. Thanks. Okay. So he has his friend go check, right? So the police officer that he talks to on the phone, as he's talking to him, he said that he was driving on the JB Bridge. So the reason that's relevant is because that's very close to the home. I guess it's about a 5-minute drive. So he said, "I'm on this bridge. I'll be there soon." So his police officer neighbor calls another officer to meet him at the home. Obviously, that's a smart call. So they immediately notice that a window without a screen is out, you know, in the back of the house. So when they see that, they call for more backup, but then they enter the home. They said upon entering the home, there was an overwhelming smell of like spray paint. They didn't know if anyone was still in their house or in the home, so they made sure that they had their guns drawn as they searched the house. So they continue throughout the house and they see spray paint all over the walls in bright red paint. Several things are painted like "punished," "I'm always watching," "you have paid," that kind of thing. So at 6:56 a.m., Chris arrives home. Note, this is 13 minutes after he says he was 5 minutes away. So they immediately think that's odd. Like, dude, you should have been here a long time ago. Why are you just getting here?
Right.
So we'll talk about that more later. So when he gets there, one of the officers, because they had called for backup, they tell him, you know, they're there. They say, stay outside, knowing that whatever they see is probably not going to be good. So, they go in. Once they get upstairs, they do find the dead bodies of Sherry, Garrett, and Gavin. So, yeah, Chris is told that they're dead. He's hysterical. He's sobbing. He's on his knees, just like hot mess, which, okay, you would expect that if you found out your whole family was dead, right? So Chris's father and even Joyce Meyer, she arrives and they comfort him and they're there to support him. So, you know, like you always see on movies and TV shows when they're all there looking at the crime scene, there's like ambulances and the people that survived or whatever are sitting in the ambulance. And so he's sitting in an ambulance like that. And he's talking to, the police chaplain, but they're talking and the chaplain notices that he has red marks all over his hands. So when he asks Chris about it, Chris starts punching the gurney, like, that's in the ambulance
by him. To try to cover it up.
Yeah, like, he's punching it, saying, no, no, and just, like, freaking out. So, that helps with an alibi, if I were to say so myself.
Yep, I mean, not an alibi, but in the sense there's, you have only one person who noticed these. And so now you can be like, oh, well, it's because I punched the gurney because I was so distraught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... obviously, they interview him because that's always where you start, regardless. So Chris said that he had spent the day before playing with his kids and watching TV. Him and Sherry put the boys to bed and then cuddled. And he said she fell asleep in his arms. And I found that very odd considering most of their fights were about him not being affectionate. And they were fighting. And so now you're cuddling? And, no.
Yeah. He's going to divorce her?
Right. So anyway, yeah, that was his little story.
You're going a little too far to try to cover up, dude.
Yeah. I was like, you know that there's like friends that talk to, right. I mean, they're going to talk to everybody. It's not like they're just going to take your word and be done with it. So,
right.
So the day of the deaths, he said he got up early. He had gone to the gym, that he had tried calling her several times. And when she didn't answer, he, you know, got worried. So he called his neighbor friend to check things out because he was more worried since they'd been getting all these threats. So
worried that he continued his workout.
Right. Like, why would you even go do that in the, like, super early as well? Like, knowing that there's like these crazy threats, I would be terrified. I'd be sleeping with like a gun under my pillow. And
well, and it's like, okay, the first time you call and you call again and she doesn't answer, wouldn't you be like, hey, I'm going to turn around, but I'm going to also call my neighbor and be like, hey, I'm here. Yeah. I'm heading back, but can you just go check? Cause I'm worried.
Right. And like, okay, you call her shortly after you leave to wake her, to make sure she's up. Why didn't you just wake her up before you left?
Right.
I don't know.
Also, why does she have to be up that early? I mean, I suppose.
And why are you in charge of waking her up? Like, are you her mom, her dad?
Like,
no.
Doesn't she have an alarm clock?
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't like him. So, another thing that was weird. So cops said that they were puzzled why Chris never mentioned checking his security system at his house. Like, he has this nice ass security system. He makes a lot of money and having all this all down. Why wouldn't he say, check my security footage? I bet you can see someone coming.
Let me guess. So, it was wiped.
No, actually, I'm surprised it wasn't, but he's just dumb because once they had to prompt him, first of all, to bring up the security. Do you have a security system? Yeah, okay. So they check it, but there's just no signs of anybody coming or going other than him leaving for the gym. Okay.
Well, that's
so
dumb.
I mean, just about as dumb as wiping it. Like, I mean, there's really just at least like turn it off or have the power conveniently be out.
Yeah.
Or something. Like,
again, not telling you how to get away with murder.
We just know how we could if we know. All the dumb criminals.
There's this creepy, if you guys watch, so there's See No Evil, you know, on ID, but they had a Hear No Evil, which was like recorded audio in the first episode. Oh, this dude, I don't remember where it takes place at, but he killed these two teenagers and like planned it out. And like, he had his whole house rigged up and he deleted some stuff, but he didn't delete the audio. And they went through all this audio and you can hear him practicing what he's going to say to the police, to his lawyer. You can hear him talking about where he's going to shoot them and stuff. Like, it is creepy. It's like, dude. And like, he had worked, like, this was like in the 80s or something. And he had worked for the CIA with security. So that's why he had all this system. Like, dude, you should be smarter than that. Like, what the hell?
You would think.
And he even gave them his audio. So it's like, how? Like, he gave him access to
how
all of this stuff.
And I was
like, yeah.
Like, and when people are like, here, search this, take this. I'm super innocent. It makes me look innocent to give you this stuff. It's like, well, that's just, I mean, you're just prolonging. They're going to find it anyway if you're giving it to them and letting them search it and whatnot.
Yeah. So that's okay.
Well,
so
that's where they're at with that. So they asked Chris, you know, about marital issues, and he said they didn't have any problems. They were fine. They were happy.
again, you told people you wanted to divorce her. Be open and honest at least about it.
Like, they're gonna find out anyway. Yeah, because lying
makes you look more suspicious. I mean, like, you know what? We were going through a rough patch. Because if you're gonna be, at least then that makes you seem more like, oh, well, like, if he was guilty, why would he tell us that? You know?
Exactly. No, no, everything's fine and great. Okay, first of all, no relationship is, like, fine and great. I mean, it is maybe, but, like, there's always something. Like, if it's not, or if it is perfect, then, like, something is wrong. You know what I mean? So, okay.
I mean,
so,
everyone has their little nitpickies and stuff like that and their moments. But, I mean, you'd be like, you know, then like, you'd overall, still be like, yeah, be like, we're good. Like, yeah, we have our little tiffs or whatever, like a normal. But he was telling people that he was going to divorce her. You can't tell people these things and then tell the police, oh, we were perfect and happy.
Yeah, yeah. Just say we fought about money and she spent it all the time. It was annoying. Like, be honest and be a real person. Like, that people, I don't know.
Yeah.
So he denies, of course, you know, that there's any issues. They asked, you know, if he was having an affair, and he said, no, he just had a really close female friend, named Tara Lintz. And he said they did not have a sexual relationship or a romantic relationship of any kind. He said that she was Sherry's friend from high school that he had just met the year before when Sherry introduced him to her.
But now they're like besties.
Yeah, I would find that odd too. Like, who just has a really close female friend, but you're married and she was your wife's friend? I mean, it's fine to have friends of the opposite sex. That's one thing.
Yeah. Like, Trevor's got, like, a good, really good female friend that they went to high school together. Like, he knew her before me and all that. And her and I are friends and stuff like that. And that was never, but when it's to become super close with a woman after, like, who was your wife's friend, like, that you haven't known for a very long time. That's
suspect. And it's not even like they like work together or something. She lived in Florida. Okay. So like, how is she your really close friend unless you're texting, calling? Mm-hmm. No, that's just like, that's inappropriate. I think.
Yeah. Like, so, there are certain instances where it's a bit much. Like,
Well, and given they've only known each other a year, it'd be different. Yeah. Like you said, if they've known each other for a long time, even as long as Sherry and him were together or something, but
nope.
So, little did they know that they already were interviewing Tara Lintz down in Florida when they questioned him about her, because they already, had an inkling, whatever. So they are interviewing Tara, and she immediately confirmed that they were indeed having an affair. She used the word affair. So what a shitty friend. I'm going to start with that. You are, I'm sorry, like, okay, even that's like middle school, high school drama crap, like. And even then, that's shitty when girls do that. But, like, girl code, like, you're a homewrecker. That's what you are.
The thing is, like, when you're the other woman and you're friends with the wife, like, that's shitty. Yes. Like, if it was some random woman.
Enough.
Like, if it, like, if it was some random woman, like, I still think it's kind of meh. But she didn't owe, you know, your marriage anything or whatever, you know, that's on him. But when she's your friend too, she owes you something, and that's fucked
and
up.
It'd be different if he was like even lying to her and she did not know that they were married. But since she knows her, she obviously knows that she's married to him. It's not like he's some guy that's saying
they're
he's already divorced
close,
and
they're both close to her. They both owe her a sense of commitment and responsibility and trust, and they're both fucking assholes.
And is Tara that desperate? Like, ew. First of all, Chris is not cute. Like, and
I mean, if you live in Florida, would you want to date anyone in Florida?
No, that is also a very good point. Correct.
No offense to our Florida friends.
We love our Florida friends, and I love Disney and all the things.
I'm sure there are some great people, but it's just like those crazy things, like stories.
You always just hear the crazy stories. So
I know, I know. That's fair. I'm sure there are perfectly great people in Florida, but
yeah. But I'm like, really, you're gonna go for homeboy that's married to your friend, which I don't know how close they were, if they were just random acquaintances in high school. Either way, you don't do that. So
I mean, if they were close enough for her to introduce them and her to not think it's told, I mean, she obviously suspected they were having an affair, but for her to not think it, like,
and how did they get contact information? Like, did he take it from her phone? Did they say, hey, they ran into her at a restaurant or
like, or was it
reunion?
Someone who she was fairly close to, you know? Yeah. And so, like,
I don't know.
My husband, and then they add each other on Facebook. I don't know. That's why social media is sketchy. And I'm sorry, people, if you are that unhappy, leave a relationship. Cheating is the shittiest thing. And that's like, no. Okay, that's a whole nother thing. Because I mean, talk about a lot of cheaters, I know. But okay, I sound all heated. That's personal issues there. No. So they had even exchanged promise rings, Tara said. And they were getting, or they were planning to get married in January of 2010. So, yeah. And
it's May of 2009?
Correct. So they're like getting there. Tara said that Chris was
Does she know divorces could take a long time?
Yeah, I know. And she said that Chris actually was planning on serving Sherry with divorce papers the day of the murder. So, you know, that's what she says. So,
yeah. Okay, but even if he did, if Sherry was like, no, I refuse to sign these, this could be a whole long thing. So
I know.
You can't get married in January?
Yeah, and also, like, that's a pretty fresh, like, dang, he just got out of that, and there's a lot of baggage, not in a bad way, but, like, I mean, when you're married for that long and you have kids, like, that's a lot to work through. It's not like you just get to move away and start over. Well, you can, I guess, if your family's all dead. Okay.
Yeah.
So, as we go on, another thing he never mentioned to police that they were able to tie together kind of was he had canceled his family's trip to Disney World that year and had actually replaced it, like rebooked a cruise to the Virgin Islands with Tara. If that's not some premeditation right there.
No shit.
So
I'm going to deprive your children of a Disney vacation.
I know. And why don't you just see Tara when you go to Florida?
Yeah.
Like, I was real heated during this. It made me so mad too. And it's like, it's bad enough like to do this. Like, I mean, don't kill anybody, but it's bad enough that you would kill your spouse. And I haven't even said if he's done it yet or not, but your kids, like that's a whole nother level of psycho.
Yeah.
So, yes. So that was the, I mean, they did see that he had booked this cruise and Tara was planning on going on that cruise after they got married and all the things. So
did his wife not know that he had canceled this trip?
I don't know. Maybe not, because if he was the money maker too, maybe he just, my guess is like he was in charge of all the money as far as like he saw, because if he could see what she was spending and he was pissed about it, she probably just had the credit card and was like, spending. I mean, if he seems very controlling, and I could see him being the type to be like, but if at the same time, then why give her a card? I don't know.
Yeah,
this is just my brain thinking.
So many questions,
and I don't know how she wouldn't have known that unless he did it very close to, or maybe they fought about that. Maybe the night of, I don't know. But yeah, so Tara was even like registering for wedding gifts at stores. Like, they had a registry. Yeah.
Fuck,
and she was
Tara.
Looking at homes. Seriously. She was looking at homes in St. Louis for them. And she said they had even been discussing baby names.
Ew.
Okay. Cause he's going to take good care of that baby since he just killed his other two.
Can we also talk about
that happened yet? But...
Can we also talk about one, if he's having an affair on his wife with you, why do you think he won't do the same thing to you?
Every time.
If he's talking about starting completely over with you, as in not having anything to do with his kids, let's say she has nothing, no idea that he's gonna off his family.
Which,
but he's still
know.
Like,
maybe
oh,
she
no.
really didn't. I don't know. It never says, but.
But if he's gonna abandon his children, you want to have babies with someone who's willing to abandon their children?
I know. Or kill
them. I don't understand.
Like,
right. Yeah. Also, okay, but like, let's get on this.
I
think we're all. I mean, but
jumping ahead,
don't we though? I think at this point we kind of
spoiler alert. Okay.
But also, is this fucker not thinking that they can tell time of death?
Yeah, that's interesting, Cassie, because I was gonna get to that in my next, let's see, I have two paragraphs before that part.
But okay, yes, my bad.
Also, which reminds me, which when we get to that part, I'll tell you about this other thing I know that I read in a book about time of death. Okay. So, you know, they don't know for sure yet. I mean, yeah. So he's a shitty human being and he's a cheater and a liar. But is he, did he kill them? Like, that seems a little extreme, right? So who knows? But as the investigation continues, Chris does weird things. So he dismantles the memorial that people put in their yard for all of the family. Yes. Is that not a total dick move? Who does that?
Also, like, I don't, like, how, okay, you went so far as to act like the horribly heartbroken, grieving husband, father. Continue with that and keep the memorial up. Why would you take it down?
Right. Does that not make you look guilty? I mean, this reminds me of the Chris Watts case with any of you guys who are not, I cannot even talk today. The people who aren't aware, he's the man who killed his wife and two beautiful little girls in Colorado. That was how many years ago? That was like 4 years ago, at least.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. Netflix has the documentary and stuff now.
It's called American Family Next Door or something.
Yeah,
it's good. It's very interesting, but it's lots of similarities because of him, you know, acting completely shocked and all the things, but then doing the weird interviews. So Chris is stupid, and he even moves boxes out of his house, like their belongings, like out mid-May. So that happened, was that May 5th, I think? So he's already moving things out. So I don't know, but like, okay, if you're gonna serve papers and divorce her, why would you just not do that? Why did you, like, why kill her? I don't know.
And also, like, why would you then tell the cops that you were so perfectly happy and now you're already, like, it's like, yeah, probably haven't even been buried yet and you're moving their stuff out?
And also I read he did not attend their funeral. Yep.
What the hell? I just listened to a podcast episode, which I'll probably cover this case, so I'm not going to go too far into it. But the dude, 2 weeks after his wife died, moved in his girlfriend.
Sick.
Like,
in the house? Yeah. Did the wife die in that house too?
Yeah.
Okay, of course. That's disturbing to me for many reasons. I hope she haunts the shit out of them.
He at least didn't kill the children, I will say that.
Okay, good. Because I mean, it's terrible regardless, but something about, like, people killing children, nothing gets me more mad.
I know. It's so ridiculous. But yeah, that's a case. I took a screenshot of the podcast episode so I could, because it's in the Midwest. It's an interesting, like, it's, I've already kind of given, like, the husband kills the wife, which is a thing that happens a lot, but it's still a very interesting case on how it finally got solved and stuff like that too. So,
and that's what I think after this, I promise I'll keep going. I was talking to someone about this the other day, like, talking about people being obsessed with true crime. I think a lot of it is just seeing the pieces of the puzzle come together and how they solve it. And I feel like that's a lot of the obsession. It's just like, how did they figure it out? And, like, just how people's brains can work to even put things together to connect dots is like very, very fascinating. Not even on the side of, like, the people who are committing the crime.
Right.
You know, it's just,
but it's also we've kind of said before, like, there's also a part of me that feels like the more of these things I watch or listen to or read about, I feel like that I'm more prepared to protect myself from these things. And I know that's not necessarily true. I know that's not necessarily logical, but you saw my text messages with Trevor the other night, like, going back and forth.
Yeah.
And so when I was even finally home and I'm like, I'm home. If you get home and I'm not here, I did not leave willingly. Don't let the cops think I did, because half the time I'll be like, well, she's a grown woman and she probably just went somewhere on her own. No, I would never leave or abandon my children. I wouldn't do that. Like, no.
And Trevor's sketchy response makes him guilty. So,
right.
But he said he would, you know, co-host the episode about your case with me. So that's fine.
You know, but I mean, that's one of those things. I was like, listen, I want you to know at least then, so you're looking and it can find my body and my killer sooner, maybe. You know what I mean?
You know what? It doesn't hurt. I get it. That's why I feel like by doing those things, you'll never have to use it. You know what I mean? Versus not doing it and then having it happen.
But also, like, if I was going to up and leave Trevor like that and not tell him, which, I mean, I wouldn't do, my mom and my sister would know. You know what I mean?
Somebody would know.
Somebody would know.
You're not going to let nobody know.
No. No. Exactly. So, if no one's heard from me and I'm gone, something's wrong.
Don't worry, Cassie. I will trace your steps and you will leave clues for me. But you would. And that's what I always tell my parents. Like, don't worry. I would fight like hell if something happened. I would get all sorts of DNA under my fingernails or whatever.
I just tell Trevor I'd haunt the shit out of him. I told him too.
I'll do that.
I'll come to people and just like, this is who killed me and this is how you find
out. I'll write it on a wall. I'll leave like a note, some creepy note. You can watch my handwriting go as there's nobody there. But that's another thing too. Like, if this guy, if he did kill his wife, why the kids? Like, just to get rid of any past life and start fresh? Like, I don't understand that. Do you not love your kids at all? Right. Why don't you just take your kids with you?
Wasn't Chris Watts thing that like he didn't want his kids to grow up without their mother or something like that?
I don't even remember. I
feel like it was something like that. But then it's like, so don't kill their mother, maybe, you douchebag. Yeah. And your unborn child and your daughters and
just sick. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was terrible. There's a lot of similarities, and it's ironic that their names are both Chris.
Yeah.
And he was also having an affair in his wife, you know?
Yeah.
And that one though, I think that one was kind of interesting because she did not know about the things. And there are cases like that too. Like with Lacey Peterson, Scott Peterson, that was in California. That was very long ago. But Amber Fry was the mistress because she even wrote a book and everything because she had no clue. But she actually helped them catch him and stuff, you know? And so it's like, okay, those situations can turn out to be okay when not all mistresses are completely disgusting complicit
to those things and everything. I just think that's, I don't know, but I mean, inevitably I feel like almost every time a man murders his wife, it's either for finances or because there's an affair, or, but you know, it's some those combination are,
I feel like the two big ones. So okay guys, those are our thoughts on that. So as far as like DNA testing, I know I just actually talked about getting DNA under fingernails. So they do find that the DNA under Sherry's nails was consistent with Chris, but it wasn't definite, which also he lives there. They're married. There could be a lot of other reasons as to why, but I mean,
maybe some rough sex. I mean, who knows?
Who knows? So there was other items that they actually sent in to be tested. So like they took paint from the walls, the laptops that were there, their Blackberries, because this was 2009 and that was cool back then, and just other items too. So they had the cyber crimes unit investigate the emails, and I'm not sure why this didn't happen sooner or if it was happening sooner when these threats first came. And it just
took longer.
Can you see my dog back there, Cassie? Sorry, guys. Sorry. She was counter surfing, being really naughty, and she's lucky that I'm on this because I won't scream. I can. Sorry. You can totally cut that out if you want. So, you know. Like I said, maybe they were looking into it when they first got these threats, and they just didn't have anything concrete yet, but either way, now it's kind of too late to figure. I mean, I wish they would have figured this out sooner because it could have maybe prevented something. So the threats were coming from an email address that was destroychris@gmail.com. The team was able to look at the IP address, and they were able to determine that the emails actually came from Chris's laptop.
It's from inside the house.
Yeah. There's that again. Yeah. So came from his laptop. I bet you're really shocked by that, which there's some stuff later kind of that ties into that, but so either he did it, or of course there's the other scenario that someone used his computer to create this and send them. Okay. So they also realized that the threats and the letters, they all had misspellings that were like in common with writings from Chris, like just how he spelled things. So
yeah,
maybe spell check things. Right.
If you're on the computer, it's got it there for you.
I know. Well, maybe not in 2009. Maybe he didn't have the newest version of Windows.
Windows?
I don't know. What Office? What was that? I don't even know back then what that would have been. Dell something. No. Right. Dell. That was just a computer. Yep. I'm off track. Okay. Don't laugh at me, people. So the autopsies showed that Sherry, Garrett, and Gavin were all killed by strangulation. They had ligature marks on their necks indicating that they had been strangled with a cord or a rope. Once again, what a personal way to kill someone too. Like, looking into their eyes. Your kids?
And I would say your kids especially. Oh my gosh. I mean, I guess, didn't Chris Watts at least give his kids sleep medicine or something?
Yeah, I think he
did. Except his oldest still fought. And
yeah, didn't. It said that they both, I think, and he smothered them, which yeah. was disgusting too.
It's still, either way, it's just horrible.
There's like, no good way. No.
No.
But no. That's terrible. And I figured the kids at this time would have been like 9 and 11. Wait, what did I say?
Yeah, 2009, 98 yeah, right. and 2000. So 9 and...
Yeah.
Yeah, 11.
Yeah. So that's young. But old enough that, I mean... But
old they enough were... you're aware of what... That you, the last thing you know is your father's killing you.
I know. Awful. And that's not like quick. I mean...
No.
It said that's that he did it while it... they were like... Or they were... It was while they were asleep. But no, you would wake up. That's not
you'd wake up to you'd wake up to that unless he had drugged them first so they were like heavily the thing is choking is not a quick death.
No,
because
you can start you and stop out. Multiple times and people well, yeah
and it can take a few minutes like you'll pass out first but you have to continue choking past that point mm-hmm. too to make them not be alive anymore. So
I know.
That's like, because I was watching this horror movie, which is like one of those like comedy horror movies, you know, it's like intentionally oh, yeah. cheesy, which I loved yeah. it. But she chokes this bad guy and then she like drops. I was like, and even in the theater, my sister saw it. I was like, he's not dead yet. He's just passed out.
Yeah. Yes, everybody knows later. That. Murder 101. I know. And that can just leave like, yeah, if you don't finish it all the way, like they can just have severe, I mean, brain damage for the rest of their life, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things. It's yeah. just, ugh.
Which I'm like, I don't know if by using a cord, he didn't have to use his hands and leave finger marks and hand prints and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know. I guess, okay, there's no good way to do it. And I sound like, once again, we're trying to tell people how to do it. Like, don't use your hands if you're going to strangle. It's not like that. But that's... That's how they were killed. So we'll just go with that. So their time of death was before 5 a.m., before Chris had actually gone to the gym. So Sherry's body showed signs of rigor mortis, which is how they determine time of death. For those of you who don't know, I'm sure most of you probably do if you're listening to a true crime podcast. So ironic. Okay, my dogs are making weird noises. I apologize if you can hear that. So I have read a book, too, about... rigor mortis, and the character in the book talked about changing the time of death because she knows how that's how they check the body. And you, so if you heat up a body to a certain degree and then cool it down, you can like change that. But like, who knows that? Clearly not this guy. And who has the time to do that?
No. Right. Like, but I mean, there are things with time of death that can be tricky too, because like rigor mortis like sets in, but then it'll go away after a while. Rigor mortis only lasts for a little while.
Yeah. Cause then it goes to, I can't think of the next one. I had them all, a while back, I read a book about it, which is weird. I'm aware, but I was curious.
But then there's the whole thing with, I can't remember what the term is, but where when you're dead, all your blood will pool.
Lividity, it's like the blood,
something like that.
Lividity.
Yeah, something like that, it because pools. That was like with the Anand Saeed case, that was something with her, you know, that they had talked about in that case a lot too. So I mean, and that means like rigor mortis was done at that point, and then that's setting in, so that helps determine like how long it's been as well too. Like there's a lot of stuff,
and then by the time like certain insects or there they can tell by that as well, like what stage the insects are in. And we talk about that a little bit more too when we get to the trial stuff, but this is just like the initial findings. So and the paint and the walls, all that was examined, the handwriting was consistent with Chris's handwriting. They even had a forensic handwriting specialist, you know, check it and stuff. So and the paint that was used was a certain brand that, you know, you can only buy certain places, and it was, the shade was candy apple red. So this was consistent with a purchase that showed up on Chris's bank statement at a local hardware store. Dumb. So this store actually kept like really good records, and they even surprised the police authorities, I guess, by it, by how good their records were. And they were able to confirm that Chris had indeed purchased that.
Wow. That's just so interesting. And again, it's like, if you're going to do these things, like, again, not telling you how to cover it up, but use cash. Don't use a card.
Absolutely. Go out of town. Duh. Yeah, you know? Do it somewhere else and use cash or have, yeah, no, I don't know.
You know, so many things, but yeah.
So Chris gets arrested and charged with 3 counts of first degree murder in May of 2009. Sherry's family filed even a wrongful death lawsuit against him. So this was good because this prevented him from liquidating any assets of theirs, including their home. So that's the most, I mean, her family's not mentioned a ton, but like, it sounds like they knew what they were doing, at least as far as that. I'm sure they had good, you know, counsel, but, so Chris awaited trial, and while he's waiting, several friends of Sherry's come forward and share different things that Sherry had told them, of course. So one friend specifically said that Chris had told Sherry that he wanted a divorce and that she refused. She said that Sherry said that he was just tired of her keeping him from God's destiny for his life, is what he had told Sherry. Oh, bizarre and psycho. Yeah. That's like cultish weird stuff.
Yeah.
So that was just one. I mean, I'm sure there were several other things that were said, but that was one specific one that kind of stood out. So Chris goes to trial in April of 2011, 2 years later. Tara Lintz, the mistress, she was kind of the star witness because she was able to testify about the exchanging of rings, their future wedding plans, and even about provocative photos that they had sent to each other during the time frame that they were talking. So that solidifies that relationship. The pathologist testified that she could not pinpoint the exact time of death, but based off of the temperature of Sherry's liver, she believed that it was between 3 and 5, which would still be before he went to the gym. So, Joyce Meyer even testified. So she just had said that Chris most likely would have lost his job had she known about the affair, which of course, like, if you're working in that kind of a ministry, you're
what's
not going
to be.
What's
so funny is he was worried about losing his job because of a divorce, but he wasn't worried about the affair.
Right. And she even said that it would have been, you know, because of the infidelity. She said because they have employed divorced people before. So there you go.
Yeah.
Her word on that. So the prosecution, their clear theory was that he was having an affair with Tara. He regretted his quick marriage to Sherry and wanted to move on and build a new life with Tara. He had sent himself messages shortly after the affair started, and he told Tara that he was serving Sherry with divorce papers on the day that the family was murdered, so he didn't actually have to do that. Yeah. So he had been planning the murders for months, it was apparent. He had bought that spray paint in advance as well. In the early hours of May 5th, 2009, he strangled his wife and both of his sons while they slept. He then spray painted messages throughout the home. He staged the window to make it look like there had been an intruder. He only called Sherry after he left home just to set up his alibi. He took that extra time driving home when he should have been home in 5 minutes. They were able to look at his cell phone pings and they saw that he specifically went around a completely other way. Yeah. A different route than he always would take because they compared because they said by him doing that, it made sure that the police were able to find the bodies before he was home. So I think he thought that would keep him away so they couldn't say, hey, you just did this, but
yeah,
stupid. Right. So, and then he also, of course, we talked about his red knuckles. He justified that as punching the gurney, which was not the case. So
it was probably from like, if he like wrapped the rope around his hands to pull it tight, I bet he got some sort of like burn or something.
Rope burn. And I know at first I was like, do they mean red marks is like the paint? But then when it said he was like punching things, I was like, obviously then that's how those mark. It's not like he didn't wash the paint away. So, but they never said if there was any paint residue on him, which I would think there would have to be a little bit, or the fumes. I don't know.
Hard to say.
There's a whole, I mean, they have enough other evidence on him that part doesn't necessarily matter. So the jury deliberated for 15 hours over the course of 2 days. The verdict was announced on May 5th, 2011. So ironically, that was the 2 year anniversary of the murders. He was found guilty on all 3 counts of first degree murder and sentenced to 3 life sentences without the possibility of parole. I guess they had just, there was a lot of stuff. I started reading it and I was like, it doesn't matter, but they had just like abolish the death penalty in Illinois at the time or something. So that's kind of how he was able to avoid that.
I'm surprised it took him that long to find him guilty.
I know. Well, and it was interesting because I could have put a lot in here about the jury like deliberating. I guess there was all but four initially were like, he did it, but then four people were kind of on the fence, but then they were able to look at photos, the photos of him and Tara and the provocative photos and all the things. And they were dated on the back and they could see the dates, and the date was, clearly like at a time that they were like, oh, then this began way before he said. So they were able to find his lies, and that's actually what brought it. And then later on, he tries to argue that that evidence wasn't, you know, they didn't admit that properly and all the things. But so I think that was part of it, just them trying to kind of find, I mean, I don't know, but so Chris's parents, who we just adore and love, right? They, they never like were convinced of his guilt. They still aren't. They defended him the entire time. Yes. So it gets real shitty because, when they had to acknowledge that Chris had an affair, his dad said, well, Sherry told Chris all the time that he was moody and he wasn't affectionate enough. She never did compliment him. That's why he was so attracted to Tara. He also told other news stations that the only reason his son had an affair was because Sherry didn't fulfill her wifely duties. So that kind of, goes back to what we talked about in the beginning.
I want to throat punch his dad.
So that gives you the, so you can kill your wife and or your family and have an affair.
It's okay to have an affair.
It's like, well, you weren't fulfilling her duties. She wanted more affection from you and you didn't give it to her, but did she go kill you?
Did you compliment her, fucker? Oh my god. Oh my god, I'm so angry at his father.
I know.
So, I mean, I'm angry at him too for killing his wife and child, but
I know.
To go that far to defend
he's an apple off the tree of the parents, you know what I mean? My dogs. I'm so sorry.
End of this episode, we'll have a little bit of dogs in the background.
Yeah, it's fine. Canines and crime, you know, that could have been the other name for the cut thing, whatever. It's fine. They're just being really annoying. They were so good until now. So all of his appeals have been denied over time. And then in 2012, which I guess that's been 10 years now. So the bodies of all three were exhumed from their graves in Chester, Illinois. And they were relocated to Sherry's hometown just outside Chicago. Chris's family, get this, they fought a legal battle to keep the bodies there. But this judge, I love this judge. The judge said a murderer should not be able to keep control of his victims. So he said,
thank you.
Nope. So, and get this, Chris's own future gravesite would have been right next to his murdered family if they had kept it there.
Ew.
Yes. So I was like, are you kidding? So I'm glad they moved them. Like, what a horrible thing to even have to go through that process of having to move them and stuff.
Right.
They did. So Chris's parents then argued that they had an equal right to be near their grandkids' gravesite, which I don't know. Once again, I don't know the relationship. Listen, they don't talk about it other than this.
I don't know about even if they were the most, I find it hard to believe that they would have been loving towards their grandkids.
Correct.
Except for the fact that they clearly have the whole thing of men are better. So maybe because they were two boys.
Yeah.
But it just feels like they still wanted some sort of sick control of it feels like another shot at Sherry.
They didn't like her. So horrible.
Yeah.
Yep. And I don't even know that, but I'm like, okay, then your kid still killed them. So why are you not mad about that? If you don't like Sherry, that's one thing. That's still shitty. You don't kill somebody, but the grandkids too, your own grandkids, whatever.
Your son killed your grandkids. And you defended him still on that.
You wanted them all still there so they can be buried together, but you hated her anyway.
Fuck off.
Get this though, the gravestones are still in Chester where they originally were buried. They have gravestones there because Chris's parents paid for those, so their bodies aren't there but their gravestones are. Is that not insane? Yeah, so I'm sure when he dies and is buried there, that'll be still right there like he was, this big happy family. So that just blew my mind. But so in 2018, Chris had done a TV interview, which I'm sure that's available somewhere. I don't care what he has to say. So, no. He, of course, you know, maintains his innocence. He said he was set up, and he said that he actually had two computers and he had left one at home and he always traveled with the other. He said that he never had both at the same time. And the one that was connected to the threats was the one that he would leave at home or work. He said that he doesn't know why that was never mentioned at the trial, but that someone, he was never there with that computer and someone could have taken it.
Why do you have that computer if you're never with it?
Correct. So that was his whole thing. I think that's what he was just banking on.
He's such
on
a
that.
Dumbass.
Oh, like, yeah, totally. He's gross, just, too. I'll post pictures and you'll just be like, you just look like a total douchebag. I mean, I don't. So as far as their home, too, I thought this was kind of interesting. It's been sold twice since the murders and it's currently off the market. No thanks. Not no, going there.
No.
Sad and awful. Like, I feel like houses like that, like, you just want to condemn them, take them down.
I know.
It's just awful to even, I mean, I'll post a picture of the house too. It's a, I mean, it's a nice house, obviously. And so it's like, it's sad, but it's also like, who wants to live in a place like that? And especially something like this, it's so big
yeah.
in the media. Like, you're aware. Yeah. It's not like it's a, something that happened 100 years ago. And yeah.
Right. No, that's, know. Oh.
So that is the case of Chris Coleman. I don't have a whole lot of info about the victims themselves because I know, you know, the boys were young. I know that said so they really loved sports and they played football for like the local town league and stuff. But that's just a crazy story. And I do remember seeing it on the news a little bit. And I think it was on the news more because of it being him being an employee of Joyce Meyer. And yeah. her just being a big name, but
yeah, I remember I either watched something about, I know the story, like I heard it, like, mm-hmm. cause yeah, him sending himself the threats and everything. I just don't remember if I watched it or if I listened to it, but I knew the story and stuff, but that's just, ugh, I hate
Very sad.
People.
I know.
This is why I don't like people. And I just want to stay in my own home all
I
the
know.
Time. And I'm such
and
a
this
homebody.
Is why it's so hard to trust people. I mean, your own friend and like. I mean, whatever. He's a yeah. shitty person. But the friend thing really bothers me that the friend would do that too.
Yeah.
I think that's yeah. so messed up.
It's all just so messed up. It just,
Yeah. So that's our story for Illinois. And yuck. I
yeah,
don't know.
That's
I,
so,
yeah, I did not enjoy
so
researching
horrible.
That one because I was just shocked. And there's so much more to it too. I, you know, of course, could have put on there. But that's the gist of it. And he's just a disgusting person. So that's yeah. what I got.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And you guys, thanks for, we got, I don't know. I meant to tell you the other day, we got a message from, I think she's your cousin or something. Samantha. Yeah, about like a way like we could do like a crossover thing with the ladies at the Grim Mystics.
I did not even see that. Sorry.
I know. I'm the worst. I meant to text
stuff.
You and tell you. Well, I got Sorry, it as a Sam. Notification and then I looked at it and I responded back to her and I told her it was me, but it was neat. Okay. So you have to go into her messages and look
yeah,
at that and stuff.
Sorry,
so.
She knows I suck at responding to things. I didn't, yeah, but I don't know why sometimes I don't even get the notifications like on my Facebook. So,
well,
I'll just
and
have
I didn't
to
realize like.
Check.
When I clicked on it, I didn't realize I was clicked. Like, I just saw it's like so-and-so commented or something. And so I thought okay. it was like a comment on a post and then it pulled open Messenger and switched me. And I was like, oh, this was a message. And so I just responded. And then I was like, oh, I don't know. It was a weird time or something when I looked at it and responded. And then I forgot to tell you.
Perfect. I'll go look at it as we speak. But that's cool. That will be fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy our friends with the Grim Mystics, so
I do too.
They're good times if you guys haven't listened to them, but you should.
Leslie sent me this neat TikTok. That's some weird, creepy creature thing. I keep meaning
she
to send it to
laugh.
You.
Yes, please do.
I need to stay off TikTok. I've been like getting on too late at night and going down this.
Oh yeah, last night you responded back so fast to me, and I was like, "Why is Cassie awake? It's midnight." Why was I awake is a better question.
I mean, there's that. The night before, in my defense, Sunday night, last night was Monday night, right? Because we're recording it's Tuesday. Yeah. Sunday night, I was asleep by 9 p.m. So there's that.
That's nice.
We were out of allergy medicine, and my allergies were bad, so I took NyQuil.
I took Benadryl every single night.
I passed out, but yeah, so then I was on TikTok, and I've been following, okay, first of all, for those of you into the paranormal, on TikTok, it's just, the username is Dude My House Is Haunted, and it's this older guy. He is, oh my god, I feel so bad for him, but he just posted an update today. Like, it starts out as little things, but then it's on TikTok, you said? Yeah.
Dang it.
I think I sent you the thing. I'll send it to you.
Okay. It keeps popping up that I have things on there, and I'm like, I don't know how. So I'll have to figure it out.
Go to your inbox. Okay. Go to your inbox on there.
Oh, right. I just need to spend time on it. Okay.
I mean, yeah. But anyway, so like, oh my god, his shit is crazy. He's the one that I legit believe, and I feel so bad for this guy. He seems like the sweetest older guy, and so go down that rabbit hole. He's got a bunch, and the thing he just posted for the update today was horrifying. It was a knife flying across his kitchen, and it looked like it was aimed at his girlfriend, but she dove out of the way, and he dove, but it sliced him across the head.
You sent it to me? Yeah. Okay, I need to go watch these, because that's
Well, I don't know intriguing. If I sent you that one. That's today's update, but there are so many things. So, like, I'll send you that one, and then you just have to go back and watch. Like, it increases.
I'm going to have to watch that. I used to follow this guy on Twitter, and it was, like, I can't remember what his name was or any of the things, but he would document these things that would happen in his apartment.
Was it Dear David?
Dear David. Yeah, because then you find out he's, like, a novelist or something, isn't he?
Yeah, it's all fake, but it was creepy. It was shit.
Were you the one that we were sending it back and forth?
Yes.
Okay, I was just gonna say, but that seems so long ago that I was like, maybe that was before we were even friends. So I wasn't sure.
Oh
okay.
No, it wasn't that
Dear
long
David.
Ago.
It wasn't? Yes. Okay, I have no grasp of
time. I mean, it was still a few years ago, but it wasn't so long ago. Do you not realize how long we've been friends? It's been
we've been friends for
7 years.
So long. I'm doing a heart shape with my hands. I can't do a heart shape really. I'll just point to my I hurt you. Yeah,
we've gone off on this whole crazy tangent now.
Yeah,
so
I have all these things I kind of forgot we're recording. I'll tell you some other things.
Yeah, I know.
But anywho, carry on with the guy on Twitter or not Twitter, not Dear David,
the TikTok guy. So if you're into the paranormal stuff, check out his. It's so like this is one that like you know you find those things you're like okay this seems so fake. His seems legit. So
okay,
it's I'll send it to you. But for those of you out there too who are into that kind of stuff. Check it out. He's got several posts.
I'm excited.
But,
look
you know,
at those. I like
yeah,
that stuff.
But until you know, also as always, please shoot us an email, a message on Instagram or Facebook or something with ideas or thoughts. And you know, we would just love it. Your you know thoughts and opinions on other episodes, or if you have ideas for future episodes.
We love those, and they're really helpful because
they are.
We say this, I know, every week, but it can be a big struggle sometimes to find some. This week I got lucky, and then Cassie found all those other ones for me, and I was like, well, crap, I already started this one. So now we have those on the back burner.
I've got several for, like, Michigan and Illinois and Minnesota or something.
Oh, yeah, and I think and I have like, Michigan next. That one's next.
Yeah, because I sent you one for Michigan. So, yeah. But, yeah, email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. In the show notes, I always link our socials, which is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, those fun things. So, yeah, until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.